work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping, and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's stamps.com/program.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's Kelly Clarkson here to talk Wayfair. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We'll get to our musical theme next segment that Dave Harrigan has provided. Professor Jessica Nielsen is with us. She chaired a task force which has recommended decriminalizing certain mushrooms. It's a 23-member psychedelic medicine task force, which released a report just under 200 pages on New Year's Day, which we felt like didn't receive enough attention. Jessica is a neuroscientist, a psychedelic researcher, and as she has been exploring the therapeutic potential of psychedelics for well over a decade. And the professor, Jessica Nielsen, is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Jessica, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. Appreciate your time. Why do you believe this is the right decision?
Yeah, thanks for having me. So, you know, there's been a lot of interest in psychedelic medicines. And so the task force was charged with reviewing the scientific literature about psychedelic medicines, how to minimize conflicts with federal laws, as well as develop a plan for regulation and public education around psychedelic medicines, which includes the psilocybin-containing mushrooms you mentioned.
When you went into this report, what was your feeling about it? And after the report was done, with the help of you and 22 others, where did you change your view?
That's a good question. I mean, when I went into it, I was very much, I still am an advocate for pushing for psychedelic therapies to be legalized and available for people that want them, as well as trying to expand access for other people that may not necessarily want to go through the medical model and explore them on their own terms, because things like psilocybin mushrooms have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years by indigenous communities for spiritual, religious, and healing purposes. And so the broader conversations on the task force are really centered around the laws around them, as well as what is their therapeutic and potential religious uses.
Okay, so let's talk about psilocybin mushrooms. Mm-hmm. If I ended up taking psilocybin mushrooms for pleasure, tell me the feeling. And then if I was battling depression or anxiety, how are they viewed as a benefit along that realm?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in terms of the, you know, quote unquote recreational use, I think, you know, they're very intense experiences at the dose that people usually take. And I don't know that people would necessarily say they're doing them recreationally, but they do help people feel good and connected to either, you know, a spiritual practice they might have or just sort of feelings of well-being. And in terms of helping with things like depression, they're really good at kind of acting like a heat-seeking missile to get at what might be the root cause of somebody's depression that maybe aren't readily accessible, because our brain really does a good job at dampening down things that make us experience pain and suffering. And so it's able to really crack that open and allow people to understand what might be driving their depression.
So I've spent a fair amount of time in this show over the years, Jessica, talking about legalizing marijuana and also using it in a different way to deal with pain, anguish, diseases. And they're two very different types of cannabis. So for the individuals listening to you right now and thinks of, I don't know, last night or 10 years ago or 20 years ago, where they may have had mushrooms recreationally versus what you guys are talking about here. Can you explain the difference to them?
The difference between recreational and therapeutic uses?
Yep.
Yeah, so I think it really...
Also, are we just talking different mushrooms, let alone the different purposes?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, they're all psilocybin-containing mushrooms. The stuff that you're hearing about in the popular press and in clinical trials is a synthetic version of psilocybin and not the mushrooms themselves. And so what we're advocating for is for the naturally derived psilocybin mushrooms because it doesn't rely on a pharmaceutical company. It doesn't require FDA approval. They're easy to grow. We just need to decriminalize them and or legalize and regulate them. And then people can choose to use them either for pleasure or for therapeutic purposes. It's really up to the purpose of whatever the person wants to do and what they want to get out of the experience.
Where are these legal across America as of today?
Well, so federally, these substances are on Schedule I of the Controlled Substances Act, meaning that they are the most illegal form of drugs, like heroin, but that doesn't mean that they're as dangerous as heroin. There's a lot of clinical trials showing that there are therapeutic benefits. So there are a few states, Oregon and Colorado, that have created state legalized programs for people to access psilocybin mushrooms in kind of a controlled environment with a trained therapist or facilitator. But beyond that, they're illegal at the federal level and can only be accessed in the form of a clinical trial.
How far along are they in those two states, and do you have a feel for how that has played out so far?
Yeah, so in Oregon, they actually opened up their psilocybin service centers in the summer of 2023, and from what I've heard, they've already treated around 7,000 people that are coming there to use them for a variety of reasons, whether it's spiritual, therapeutic, or just, you know, for the experience of it. Colorado is just now opening their doors starting now in 2025. And so it's unclear how that's going to go. But so far, you know, we hear really good things about the program, aside from it being a little cost prohibitive and people having to travel to another state in order to do it.
This is Jessica Nielsen. She is a neuroscientist and a psychedelic researcher. She's been exploring potential therapeutic uses of psychedelics for 10 years. She's the chair of a psychedelic medicine task force that released a report, 191 pages, on New Year's Day. What happens to this report now? Where does it go? What do you expect to happen? What would you like to see happen?
Yeah, so the report is currently living in the state's legislative reference library, and it is really meant to be kind of a tool for the legislature to use as psychedelic access programs may unfold in the state over the coming years. And so my personal hope is, you know, someone in the legislature will actually turn this into a bill and try to champion it through the process so we can have that signed into law and have a psychedelic medicine access program here in Minnesota. But that really requires someone in the legislature to be bold enough to actually do that.
Did you get any feedback at all from the governor?
There was a representative of the governor on the task force, but we didn't speak to the governor directly, no.
So you have no idea if the governor would advocate for this?
I can't speak for the governor, no.
Okay. For the individual who's listening right now, who was anti the legalization of marijuana, although that process is taking forever, it's pretty ridiculous what's happened so far. And then here's this conversation, thinks, this is the last thing we need. Is greater access to more illicit drugs. What do you say to that individual who is pretty entrenched in their position?
Yeah, I would say, you know, these magic mushrooms specifically have been used for hundreds, if not thousands of years for spiritual and therapeutic uses. And the results coming out of the clinical trials are very, very promising. I don't think we can equate this to cannabis at all. Clinical trials with cannabis have not proven to show much that's terribly convincing, even though people will claim that they help. But when it comes to psilocybin, the evidence from the clinical trials is very, very promising, especially for depression. And so there's currently phase 3 trials, which is the last stage of clinical trials before FDA will consider approval. And those are going pretty well so far. So, you know, I would say for the people that are a little skeptical of this, you know, this is a very promising new therapy that does have really good science behind it, suggesting that it might be better than what is currently available to people.
So you recommended the magic mushrooms, but you did not recommend MDMA and LSD. How come? What's the difference?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, the main thing there was basically that, you know, psilocybin-containing mushrooms are natural. They're easy to grow within the state. And LSD and MDMA are synthetic. They need to be produced in a lab. And when it comes to things that are kind of on the controlled substances list of Schedule I drugs, like we do with cannabis, you know, it's technically in violation of federal law, but we do kind of grow it and source it in state without the DEA intervening. And so I think there was just inherently more trust in something that we could just grow within the state that doesn't require all this synthetic manufacturing in order to procure a supply for a medicine program in the state.
Jessica, thank you. Excellent information. Mm-hmm. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That is Professor Jessica Nielsen. She's been a part of this for over a decade. She's a neuroscientist. Dave, you are also, right? We don't mention that much, but you're a neuroscientist. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I've been working on that for quite a while.
Yeah, off hours while you're not producing the show. And this debate on magic mushrooms. Well, if Big Pharma tells us to take something, Dave, what a 99.9% of us do.
Write that prescription, baby. Let's go.
And by the way, a lot of those medicines work. This is not a comment where, oh, I hate medicine, or I hate science, or I hate doctors, or I'm not buying it. But some of those can have some downsides also. And I've listened for years and years from individual on medicinal marijuana. Oh, you can't do that. It's a gateway. It's incredibly different from recreational marijuana, which, by the way, I'm a libertarian. I think you should be allowed to do, and I think the new timeline in Minnesota is the year 3006. I think we should look at this. I really do. This isn't, hey, I'm in college and I'm going to dabble. This is for people who are facing extraordinarily difficult facets of their life. PTSD, depression somewhere else, anxiety. And we can load them up on pharmaceuticals, which can help. Sometimes can be the key. I'm not saying eliminate them. And I'm never going to say the toolbox, because that makes me vomit. Maybe not vomit, but it's pretty close, right, Dave? The tool. Another tool in the toolbox.
I like tools in the toolbox.
Oh, my God. Why are we eliminating something when it could help? And why are we coming to this stick? Oh, you're a druggie. People have depression. I've dealt with depression in my life many times. People have anxiety. People have PTSD. People have trauma. And we're going to say, because we've decided that we shouldn't try this, when it's been used for a long, long time and helping people out, I think we should allow people to pursue this. If we want to have a limited group in the state, so we dip our toe in it, fine. But to make this, nope, we can't do it because mushrooms, that's what somebody I knew then, or I still know now, and then they drove and I got an accident and they hurt somebody. I'm not advocating you put other people at risk. I'm trying to be the person who's saying, hey, data and science and scientists are showing us this can help people who are facing hell. And we're going to be holier than thou and tell them they can't get help at something that might work, might not. Give them the chance to try it. What do you want to say? What does Dave want to say? What do you want to say? Love a phone call or two on this. Obviously, we've touted the StylesFinancial.com talk and text lines a lot so far, and the feedback has been great. You can 1,000% disagree with me. You can agree. You can add some nuance. Whatever you would like. 651-461-9226 on CCO.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But these days, it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime, so you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made, and from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. It's crafted with timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, which means this hoodie can withstand any outing or adventure. It'll be your new favorite hoodie, and you can depend on it for years to come. Plus, buying from American Giant means supporting local communities of farmers, manufacturers, and more. This season, snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life.
the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
Your Linus Construction Time Check is 53 past 1. It's time to get $500 off your insulation project. Call for more details. All right, Dave Harrigan, what do you want to say about this study, which is encouraging the opportunity and access for psilocybin mushrooms, considering their long, long history of success? But again, they're class one drug. They're like heroin. But we've had two states who are trying to be kind of the incubators, where states are allowed to be different and seeing how it works out. Do you want to see that in Minnesota?
I'm open to the conversation. I'm open to doing, you know, whatever more research needs to be done, more discussing with the experts. I don't know much about psilocybin mushrooms. I've never consumed a psilocybin mushroom. I just know that I don't really care for mushrooms in general. But
well, you're wrong on that, by the way, separately.
Well, I'm not wrong. I'm telling you I don't care for mushrooms. Are you telling me I do care for mushrooms?
Yes, you do.
That's not correct.
You're suppressing your love of mushrooms.
That's not correct.
Which is why your eyebrows are as bushy as they are.
It has nothing to do with
If you acknowledge your eyebrows and the mushrooms, they all would be in sync.
Look, I've got the Luigi going for me right now with the eyebrows. I've never been more fashionable. I've never been more hip with the big eyebrows.
With the murderers and the deranged.
All I needed was the nation to fall in love with the deranged murderer.
Every one of those idiots who thinks Luigi was some hero or he's hot, they need some psilocybin mushrooms.
Might help.
Quickly.
Might help.
Among the techs. Oh, no, keep going.
No, it's worth the thought. I mean, it's worth the conversation. It's worth looking into more. You know, if it comes up with, no, these things are still too dangerous because this, then fine. But let's not just slam the door because, you know, decades ago we said mushrooms, level one.
We're done. Here's a texture who I think fits that category. The Chinese government is loving you promoting this. Hey. If they podcast the show, that'd be great. We're looking for the podcast us, Xi Jinping.
Mm-hmm.
I know he loves Am I Wrong. He's one among the many politicians who loves Am I Wrong. And was a bit disappointed the major stepped in on Am I Wrong last week. Again, you can podcast the show, Chad Hartman Show. The Chinese government. I don't in any way support the Chinese government. You know I support Texers? People who are dealing with trauma, depression, hell. And instead of whatever I can get from a pharmacy, if studies show effectiveness, I will do that. Because the same texter said, why didn't you do a show promoting ivermectin? Oh, we had 4 or 5 guests on ivermectin. And you know what the studies showed? It didn't work. From different doctors and scientists, it didn't work.
That's big science, Chad.
Yeah. Chad, excellent discussion. A subject most of us don't know much about. That's what we're trying to do. Heaven help us, we want to use Oregon or Colorado's models for illegal drug legalization here in Minnesota. We're not talking about it for recreational use. I think it's fairly condescending. Fairly condescending. If it was you and you had mental depression, or if it was your wife, your husband, your son, daughter, and this would help them, and they didn't abuse it, and they didn't put others in harm's way, you really would be against this? Why? I'm not saying, boom, let's do it, but let's continue to pursue it. And if people can use this and help them and not put others in harm's way, sounds like a pretty good plan for me.